doers. If you've got little ones, you've probably heard them saying that after they came back from church. I a doer. Get it in them when they're young. Look in Ephesians, if you would, the sixth chapter. We've been on these Sundays, when it hadn't been some other special service, on a series we're calling, what? Anybody remember what the title is? All Kinds of Prayer. Is there more than one kind of prayer?
Yes.
Well, that would be the implication if you're saying all kinds. And in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, you read about this. In verse 10, go ahead and put that up if you would, verse 10. He's talking about the being strong and about what we call the armor of the Lord. And I'm going to read this all the way down through the next half dozen verses or so. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That means you can be. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the thing to stand against is the trickery of the enemy. That's the danger. And the less you know of the Word of God, the easier you are to trick and fool. You remember Jesus when the enemy tempted Him for 40 days and nights. How did He rebuff the enemy? How did He not fall into being tricked? What was His response? It is written. It is written. It is also written. What if you didn't know what was written? Then you are out of ammo.
That's
right. Right? You got no weapon. You got nothing to respond with. And if you don't know the truth, how would you know a lie is not true? You got nothing to compare it to. Deception means you think a lie is true. If you knew it was a lie, you wouldn't be deceived. So deceived people think they're right. They don't know that what they're convinced of and believing is untrue, is a lie. Talked about motorcycles a minute ago. A couple of years ago, I was riding motorcycles in the mountains somewhere, just having a good time. And the Lord asked me a question. You know, he goes everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere you go, he's already there. And he asked me a question. He said, Keith, what's the difference between truth and belief? What's the difference between truth and belief? So now again, I just shifted a gear. And I'm riding. I need to watch the road. And so I'm thinking about that. And for a half a day I thought about that. I thought, what's the difference between belief and truth? And finally, toward the end of the day, he seen I hadn't got it figured yet. I did. I asked him. I said, Lord, what is the difference? Well, help me. And he said, believing something doesn't make it true. I know this is simple, but man, this is big. People say, well, you know, I believe this with all my heart. Does not make it true. Does not make it right or so. Believing something doesn't make it true. And truth is true whether you believe it or not. Right? Whether you even know about it or not. And so this thing that people have come up with in recent times about your truth and my truth, absolute garbage junk. What do you mean? Truth is true whether you think so or not. And when people say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth, then what they're saying is truth is whatever I say it is to me. And truth can be whatever you say. Well, you don't even know what truth is.
Right.
Truth is independent of what you think or how you feel. And the glorious thing about truth is it will make you free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. It will absolutely liberate you from all the works of the evil liar, deceiver, adversary who's against us. But not if you don't know it and you don't believe it. Which is why everybody at Faith Life Church reads that chapter every day, Monday through Friday. Now, if you hadn't been doing it, or if you fell off the wagon and you're way behind, don't feel bad and you don't have to go back and do it all necessarily. Just go get your reading card and start with us tomorrow.
Amen.
Huh? Why? This is not for my benefit per se. It's for you.
Amen.
And the more knowledgeable you are of the Word of God, even if you don't understand what you're reading at the time, if you'll show it some respect and give it some time, it'll get in you. And maybe months or years down the road, something will come up and the enemy will be trying to play you or fool you somehow. And the Lord will bring that up to you and you'll think, that can't be right because the Word says this. Come on, but if you'd never heard it before, how's he going to bring it to your remembrance? So that's why over a period, of weeks and months and years, what we have seen. Now, right now we're reading the Old Testament as well, and that takes more than 1 year. But on the other years, in 1 year's time, we read the entire New Testament through.
Yes.
It's not that hard. Just one chapter a day, 5 days a week, you will have read the entire New Testament through. And so you will have seen it and heard it.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit can help you with it.
Amen.
And bring it to you.
Yes.
And as the years go by, you grow in it. You see more and more and get harder and harder for the enemy to fool and trick. I mean, as the years go by and you get stronger and stronger in the Word, you see the enemy when he rounds the corner down at 2 blocks away. You go, I see you. I see you. You're not fooling me with that because Ephesians said this and Mark said this and Isaiah said this and I ain't buying what you're selling. Huh? And so you resist the devil, you give him no place, and resist him. Tell me what happens. And he will run off. He will flee. And you stay free. Right? He will flee, and you stay free. Keep reading. Put on the whole armor of God. So you can stand against the wiles, the deceptions, the trickeries of the devil. Keep going. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And all this is, again, standing against these wiles, these thoughts, these imaginations, these deceptions that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What's the first one he mentions?
Truth.
Truth. What will the truth do for you?
Make you free.
Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. And because of what Jesus has done, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And that breastplate protects you from guilt and shame and condemnation.
That's right.
Hmm? No, you haven't earned a thing, and I haven't earned and don't deserve a thing, and yet we were given it as a free gift. Hallelujah. And we can have it anyway. And I don't have to come with my head hung down about how sorry of an excuse I am. I can come boldly before the throne of grace, not because of what I've done, but because the blood has washed me clean and the Lord gave me His righteousness. Mine wasn't good enough, but He gave me His. And I can put it on. I said, I can put it on. Everybody say, I put on the breastplate. See, what does the breastplate protect? All your vital organs, right? Your heart, your lungs, all of that. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. I have been made right and acceptable with God through what Jesus has done. What else is going on? The next verse. Verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what we were talking during the offering about. This is our job one, is getting out this good news. And notice, it's on your feet. Why? Feet go. Feet move. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news. That's why you need fast cars and airplanes. Fast boats and ships and that's why you need TV and internet. Fast internet. Is that right? Fast everything. Why? Got to get this out. Get it out. Why? Because days are clicking by. Time is running out. We got no time to waste. So, 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you don't have the shield of faith and you're not using your faith, then a fiery dart, an arrow or missile fired by the enemy, a fiery dart of fear or doubt that shot at you, you're not going to make it. You'll never have it. You'll never be enough. You're a failure. You're this. If you don't have the shield of faith, it will hit you and pierce you. And you'll go, I guess I'll never make it. Oh, but if you have faith, you see that thing coming and you raise up that shield of faith and it goes, twing. And the devil says, you ain't going to make it. And you say, says you. I can do all things through Christ. But it takes faith to think like that and talk like that. So keep your faith up. Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, keep your faith up. Come on, raise the shield up. That's. I mean, if you saw bullets coming your way, what would you do? Huh? Get it up. Get your faith up. Because it can't get through the faith. It can't get through the faith to you. This faith is the very faith of God. It come right out of Him. Keep reading. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, the helmet of salvation, that protects your head and your mind and your thinking. I'm saved. On my way to heaven. I can relax. Huh? And the sword of the Spirit. Now the enemy's in trouble. I said, now he's in trouble because all of this is defensive. But he done messed with the wrong bunch. Huh? And we thought, oh, you've been shooting at me? You want to shoot at me? Shoop. Here we go. Let me give you something to think about. Huh? And put the word in him. Oh, no wonder he takes off and runs. Huh? The word. Isn't that what Jesus did? So you couldn't see in the spirit, but the enemy's pulling out all the stops, trying to trick Jesus, fool him, tempt him into this and that. And Jesus looked at him and said, it is written. And the devil went, oh. And so then, that's why it took 40 days. I don't know how many days it took him to recover. And then he said he's going to hit him again because we're only given three instances, you know. And so he said he's going to do it again. And Jesus said, say what? Oh, you want some more? Come on. Come on. It is written. And after the third time, you remember that the scripture said the enemy left. He left for a season. I mean, you didn't hear from the devil. People thought, where's the devil at? He's... Do we have that same sword of the Spirit? Can we wield it? Come on, somebody say, it is written. It is written. It is written stops the devil in his tracks. It is written stops his activity and work. It is written settles the matter.
Amen.
Whew. Keep going. This is our text. Praying always. So you got all the armor of God on. You're being strong in the Lord. You got your helmet on. You got your shield of faith. You got the sword of the Spirit. You're ready to do what? We gave a definition some time back that part of praying is working with heaven to accomplish God's will on the earth. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, when you look at the whole thing, you realize it would have to be in the Spirit. Because how else could you ever pray for all saints? You have no idea who all saints are, much less what they're going through or how to pray for them. You would have to have help in order to do this, and so that's why it's necessary that you do it with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, in God's Word translation says it like this, verse 18, pray in the Spirit in every situation, use every kind of prayer and request there is. God has given us a number of things to work with. Sadly, much of the church is ignorant and think that everything's up to God. But no, He expects some things of us. One of them's prayer. And He said, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort. Make every kind of request for all of God's people. So, is it possible to pray a wide range of things for God's people all over the planet and for the workings of God's plan and His purposes and the building of His churches and the anointing and success of His ministries? Can you, in your apartment, or home in Sarasota, or Bradenton, or Branson, huh? Harrison, or Springfield, or wherever? I know people are watching from other countries. From where you are, is it possible to pray prayers that connect heaven and you and people in South America and China? Yes. Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
You.
Me.
Somebody say me.
Me.
Me. He's not just, this verse is not just to preachers. Right? Or just a handful of especially spiritual prayers. Because that's one reason I took time to read the whole thing. Elsewise, being strong in the Lord's only for them too.
Amen.
Or the armor of God's only for them too. No, this is for every child of God. Every believer of God. Said out loud, praying always with all prayer,
all kinds of prayer,
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. In, that's the only way you could do it. So we've been on the last, I expected to talk about this one time and then go to the next thing. And then this is number five on the same thing about in the Spirit. What that is, what that means, how to do that. So go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Let's get further with it. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. You believing with me?
Yes.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. 14:1. Follow after love. This is one of the big keys to being led by the Spirit. God is love. If you're following love, you're following Him. You're following God. You're following His Spirit. The devil isn't love. He has no love in him. So, remember, the Bible talked about Jesus in His earthly ministry numerous times. He was moved with compassion and reached out and ministered to people, healing, deliverance, those kind of things. Well, why did He minister to them in that place that way? You could say He was being led by the Spirit. You could say He was being directed by God. You could also say He was following love. Can you see that? Following love is being led by the Spirit of God. And so he goes on to say, verse 2, for he that speaks in a tongue, now the word unknown is added by the translators, it is unknown to the speaker, but that doesn't mean it's unknown to everybody. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man, what? Understands him. Now, we've touched on this, but the Lord keeps bringing it back to me, so I'm going to keep bringing it back to you. Understanding is a big key to understanding what it means to pray in the Spirit. How? Because, like we said, sometimes in learning what something is, you have to realize what it's not. And that's what you see here. He said if somebody is praying, and or speaking, it said, in a tongue, nobody there, what? Under, including the speaker, doesn't understand what they're saying. Now that doesn't mean it's not good speaking or good praying. It just means it's not coming from the mind. It's coming from the heart. And when he says pray in the Spirit, pray with the Spirit, it's the source where the prayer is coming from. It's not coming from the intellect nor the reason. It's not a prepared prayer. Is coming spontaneously from the heart. And in this case, in a language the speaker doesn't understand. Now skip down. That's the second verse. But skip down to the 14th verse. 1 Corinthians 14:14. He said, for if I pray in a tongue, again unknowns added by the translators, my spirit prays. Isn't that what he just told us to do?
Yeah.
Pray in the Spirit. You'll find the terms in the Spirit, with the Spirit, by the Spirit. If I pray in a tongue, what's happening? My spirit is praying. He didn't say the Holy Spirit is praying. People have gotten confused about this. Now the Holy Spirit is helping you. He's giving you utterance. But it's actually your spirit that's doing the speaking, which is why a lot of people have not received, because they think that God is just going to take them over and control them and make them speak or speak through them. No, that's not how it works. You do the speaking just like you do when you speak a language you know, English, Spanish, whatever it might be. You have to breathe and push air out of your lungs and your vocal cords. You have to use your mouth. You have to use your lips. You have to speak. If you don't speak, you won't speak. Huh? I know that sounds simple, but I missed that part for years. Thank God the Lord finally helped me to get a hold of it. You have to speak. You do it by faith. But the utterance, you don't speak out, you're not speaking out of your head. It's not coming out of your understanding. It's coming out of your spirit. It's not mind praying. It's spirit praying. There's no way I or you could effectively pray for all the saints and all the work and plan of God from our mind. Would anybody agree with that? Huh? There's no way. There's no way. You can't even pray about all the things that pertain to you. Much less me and everybody else. Thank God for the Spirit. Woo! The Lord said, you know, before He left, they were upset that He was leaving. And He said, look, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm going to send another helper. He knew they needed help. He knew we needed help. And He sent help to us. Capital T, capital H, the helper. Hallelujah. The one that takes of His things and shows them unto us. The one who leads and guides us into all the truth. Brings all things He said to us to our remembrance and even shows us things to come. Only by the help and involvement of the Holy Spirit can we do what He's telling us to do. Pray like this and pray with this kind of scope. Keep reading. Verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But what? My understanding is unfruitful. Now that word understanding here is the word for mind. My mind is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now see, if you could only pray like this, when the Holy Spirit took you over, as people imagine, you couldn't say, I will do it. You couldn't say that. You'd have to wait until you were caught up in some kind of a spiritual ecstasy. No. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He said, I can pray in the Spirit just like I pray with the understanding at my will. Hmm? So if you're not doing this, you can. Don't think, well, oh, that's only for some people. No, you've heard wrong. You've been taught wrong if you believe that. If one person needs help because they don't have it all in their mind, everybody needs help because they don't have it all in their mind. No, it's a matter of believing the right thing, and it's a matter of stepping out in faith to do it. So He said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding or the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding or the mind also. Verse 16, else when you shall bless with the Spirit. So we've got speaking with the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, singing with the Spirit, blessing with the Spirit. Sounds like they did a lot of stuff with the Spirit. Huh? Why? It is the best way. It is the highest way. And it is different from doing it with your understanding or your mind. He said, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks? Now when he calls blessing, giving of thanks. Seeing he what? understands not what you're saying, for you verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So what we know about praying with the Spirit, we know it is not praying with the understanding.
Amen.
That's what we know. We know it is not mind praying. It's not coming out of the mind. It's not coming from the mind. It's coming from the Spirit, the inside, the heart core of human beings. Now look with me at a couple of places here. Look in, Philippians. Let's do that first. Philippians 4 and 6. Are y'all okay?
Oh, yes.
He said, before I read this, the Lord has given us means to escape our limitations. This is something. I said, this is something. We in this world, no matter how brilliant you may think you are, you haven't been alive this long compared to God and creation. When the Bible calls us His little children, it's not a figure of speech. We are preemie baby, knowledge wise. We are just getting started in our existence. And the big issue is what we don't know. There is so much we don't know about everything. Why am I here? What should I be doing? Who should I be helping? Where should I be connected with? What profession should I pursue? Where should I live? I mean, 10,000 questions every day, and only one way to get it right.
Come on.
Led by the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you depend only on your mind, or worse, somebody else's mind. That doesn't even know you.
Yeah.
Huh? And when you're doing Google searches, you don't know whose mind. That came out, huh? Is that right? You can be pretty sure most of them don't know you and don't care about you. And even among people that you know and love, no matter how great they may be, they don't know much. Compared to God?
Right?
Oh, but the one who knows it all is living right on the inside of you. Right on the inside. 24/7. You don't even have to leave and go anywhere to talk to Him. He's right here. Right now. And He knows exactly where you need to be. Where you need to go, what you need to do, who you need to be involved with, what you need to be. He knows. I said He knows. He's not trying to figure it out. He already knows. But it's up to us whether we will seek that and whether we will listen. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he used to say this often. He said, we need to become more God inside minded.
Yeah.
We need to be more God inside minded. Where is He? Well, for believers, like Romans 10 said, don't say who's going to go into the depth and bring up Christ from the dead. He's already raised from the dead. Don't say who's going to go into heaven and bring Christ down from above. No, He's close as your heart and your mouth.
Amen. That's right.
He's close. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, do what?
Pray.
You know, there's a lot in the Bible about praying. In everything. In what? How many things?
Everything.
Prayer and supplication, a form of praying. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a form of prayer. Let your request be made known unto God. Several times over the years, we've had people write into us and say, I need this. The scripture said, let your request be made known. Not to Brother Keith. Let your request, am I telling you? Let your request be made known unto God. Unto God. I'm not God. You're not God. Keep going. And if you will do that, instead of worrying, fearing, being anxious, being upset, and you'll pray and let your request be made known unto God and get in faith about it, the peace of God that what? Say that again. Does what? Passes what? Passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The things of God pass our understanding. They go beyond what we comprehend. The word understand means literally to put together. To put it together. You and I have experienced this so many times. Something we didn't understand, maybe for a length of time, and then we saw it and we put it together and we thought, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, why we finally put it together. Amen. Yeah, but how much have we not put together yet? But Brother Hagin again, my father in the faith, he said as a little boy, they grew up around a farm. He said he could not figure out how a brown cow could eat green grass and give white milk, and you could churn it, and back there churning, make yellow butter. He said, but the whole time he's trying to figure it out, he's enjoying the milk. You can enjoy things you don't understand. Huh? You can experience things you have no understanding of. You can enjoy them. Now, if you say, well, no, if I can't understand it, I'm not going to be a part of it. Well, you're going to miss out on most of your life in God. And the problem is a lack of trust. And the problem is thinking you're so smart. Thinking, I have to understand it before I'm going to partake of it. Well, you're vastly overestimating your understanding. It's just like little ones with good parents. I mean, if a young child says, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. I don't understand naps. No. Just no. Or broccoli. I do not understand broccoli. I have no understanding of Brussels sprouts. No. No. But some things you need. And so it comes down to, do you trust who's telling you this? Because some things you're going to have to grow to understand. You're not able to understand it where you are now. And you won't be for years. And that's the case with us. There have been, I'm thinking of this one thing, I asked the Lord sincerely, Lord, I want to understand this. And a lot of times if I'm studying the Word and I come across something I don't understand, I'll just pause and I'll say, Lord, I want to understand this. I'm asking you for revelation. I'm asking you for knowledge of the holy, understanding and wisdom. And this one thing, I did that. And sure enough, 10 years later, 10 years later, I'm going along doing something else. He brought it up to me like I asked 5 minutes ago. And I'm like, yeah, right. Right. A decade ago. And when he started ministering to me about it, I saw why he didn't talk to me about it 10 years ago. Okay. I wouldn't have known what he was talking about.
Okay.
I had to grow.
Right.
Oh, come on, can you see this?
Right.
I had to grow. I had to develop. Just like there's some things you can't explain to a 3-year-old.
Amen.
You can tell them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they know what you're talking about.
Right.
You got to grow.
Yes.
You got to develop. But we don't have to wait till we get to some high level of understanding before we can pray an effective prayer, because we'd be in trouble. How are we going to make it through the day? Right? How are we going to do what we, how are we going to find out what we need to find out? Thank God you can do things beyond your understanding.
Amen.
Woo! Somebody say beyond,
beyond.
Here he's talking about peace that passes all understanding. Hmm? What does that mean? You can experience the peace of God and the presence of God, and your head's going, what is this? What is this? You say, hush, just enjoy it. Just, this is beyond you. This is beyond you. Say it out loud, passes understanding. Now go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. We're still talking about praying in the Spirit. With the Spirit. What is that? Well, we know it's not with the understanding. In Ephesians 3 and 16, which is a prayer. Ephesians 3, this passage is a prayer. This is a prayer you can and should pray for yourself. He's, Paul, by the Spirit, is praying this prayer for the saints, the church at Ephesus. He said that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. As you hear these things and study these things, you see the inner man is more important than the outer man.
That's right.
Huh? It's more important than the intellect.
Yes, sir.
In our world, which is largely ungodly, billions and billions are spent on the development of the body and sports. And billions are spent on the development of the mind and intellect and education. But in many places, nothing at all on the Spirit, which is the most important part of us, which is the eternal part of us. So he said, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. If you see somebody struggling, showing signs of weakness, pray that prayer for them. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, I'm asking You to strengthen them with might by Your Spirit in the inner man. Do you know you're asking according to His will when you're praying right out of the Bible? Yeah, you do. And according to John, if you know you prayed according to His will, you know He heard you. And if you know He heard you, you know your petition's granted. So then after that, you just say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for doing it. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell where?
In your heart.
In your heart. By faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, keep going, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know or to experience the love of Christ, which what?
Passes
knowledge. Can you experience something? Even experience the fullness of it. Height, depth, breadth, length. Can you experience something that is measureless without understanding it? without knowing all about it. If you'll yield to it, you can't. Huh? If you'll quit thinking you're so smarty and have to figure everything out first before you trust. Now, we don't trust people like that because they can make mistakes. But God, we do trust without reservation and without hesitation because he can't lie to us. He loves us. Look at it again. To know the love of Christ which passes or goes beyond, surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Dear heart, this language speaks of eternity. Can you be full of the fullness of God? The fullness of God. The earth can't contain Him. The solar system can't contain Him. The universe can't contain Him. And yet, because He has made you in His own likeness and image, you and I have the capacity to embrace the fullness of God and to experience the height, the depth, the breadth, the length, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that's beyond understanding of your or my mind. Why am I talking about this? Because this is how He's telling us to pray. To pray beyond your head. Pray beyond your mind. How can you do that? Only with the Holy Spirit's help. Only by faith. Say it out loud. By the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
By faith.
By faith.
I can pray.
Beyond my mind.
Not only can we, He told us to do it as a lifestyle. Go to Romans, please. The 8th chapter in closing. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with this today. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. These terms, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, these are not mysterious things that nobody can understand. This is God's intended way of life for us. 24/7 is the way we're supposed to function and operate. And all you have to do is like Brother Hagin said, you may not understand how the brown cow eats green grass, gives white milk. You may, how can me speaking in tongues pray about people all over the world the plan God has for my life for the next 40 years? How can I just trust Him?
Yes, right.
I said, trust Him. And yield, and speak, and pray, and praise, and give thanks, and bless. Hallelujah. And do it again tomorrow. And do it again tomorrow. And do it again the next day. Come on, y'all with me? And what will happen is what's going on inside your spirit will begin to illuminate your mind. Hallelujah. And you'll begin to get glimpses of things. And like He said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. And He will take of the masters and show it unto you. He'll bring to your remembrance everything He said to you. And even show you things to come. Now, He's not going to show you the whole thing, because then you wouldn't be walking by faith anymore. But He'll show you enough to take a step. And then when you take a step, He'll show you the next thing. Huh? And that'll get you through life. Romans 8 and 26. Romans 8, 26. If this is not familiar to you, mark it. Go over this again after the service today. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, infirmity doesn't always mean sickness. It literally means weakness. And the weakness can be not just physical, it can be mental. And that's the case here. He said, the Spirit helps our infirmities, weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now we do know some, if you hear the word, you know some things about how to pray. You go to the Father. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You pray in faith. You use the name. We're given several things of what to pray for. We just got through reading in Ephesians 3, asking the Lord to strengthen people in their inner man, asking for knowledge and revelation. And there's some things. It's not right to say we don't know anything to pray for or anything about how to pray. We do, if you listen to the word. But this is true no matter where you are, how long you've gone. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. Do you see that? There's always a whole lot more you haven't seen, you don't know. But the Spirit helps us. Helps us. And one of our big weaknesses is what we don't know. The limitations of our mind. But the Spirit itself, or other translations say Himself, He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Keep reading. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Does this sound like praying in the Spirit? Praying with the Spirit. Yes. Because He makes intercession for the saints according to what? Praying in the Spirit, you always are praying the will of God. Not some harebrained idea that somebody came up with, or just being moved by what you see and feel. You're actually praying the will of God, the plan of God that God can hear and do something about. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now notice how this keeps working out. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Now people have chopped that verse in half and pulled it out of context and tried to declare that everything that's happening is for good. That is not true. I said that is not true. Most of the people on the planet, everything is not working out for their good. They are not who this verse is talking about. First of all, you got to back up to verse 26. He's talking about people praying by the Spirit, praying the will of God. And this kind of thing results in things working together for good to who?
Those that love God.
Everybody? No. Does everybody love God? No. To them who love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. See, that's what he just got through saying. The Spirit of God's helping you to pray. The will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Keep going. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Hallelujah. He's talking about, can you see, the praying involved the whole scope of the plan of God from the beginning to our ultimate glorification past this life. How in the world could you and I pray effectively about that out of our minds? We can't. We can't. Just not enough up there. Oh, but if you'll drop down. In here. He is in here. And He can help us. Woo! Somebody say, He helps me. He helps me. That's what He said. He helps our weaknesses. Because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit. Let me read this to you from another translation. The Weast says it like this. In like manner, the Spirit helps us with a helping hand with reference to our weakness. for the particular thing that we should pray for according to what is necessary in the nature of the case, we do not know with an absolute knowledge. But the Spirit Himself comes to our rescue. Somebody better say thank you, Lord. The Spirit Himself comes. You're praying out of your little mind and you've said the same thing five times and you don't know anything else to say. And you know there's more that needs to be said. You know your heart's going, hey, we got to break loose from this thing. We need to pray serious. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, I got you. I got you. Here you go. Hook up with me. I'm going to help you to pray this thing out. Woo! Somebody said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit Himself comes to our rescue by interceding with unutterable groanings. The Weymouth says the searcher, well, back up, it says the Spirit Himself pleads for us in yearnings that can find no words. And the searcher of hearts knows what the Spirit's meaning is because his intercessions for God's people are in harmony with God's will. Oh my. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You and I, born again ones, from the person that got born again yesterday to the man or woman that's been walking with God for 50 years. We are in contact with the eternal God now. And He doesn't see through a straw. He sees this. Whew. And He knows what needs to happen now and tomorrow and first and second and next. He knows what needs to be changed, what's urgent, what should be completely ignored and dispensed with. We don't know enough in our heads to pray all of that as we should. But you can sense things that are beyond your understanding. Right? You can experience things that pass knowledge. And you can pray. You know that passage in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, when you speak in a tongue, no man understands you. But in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. Everybody say mysteries.
Mysteries,
mysteries to the devil, mysteries to man, not mysteries to God. Hallelujah. But the things that men need to know and need to find, even though your head may be twiddling its thumbs, while you're praying away, by the Spirit, you're touching this, you're touching that, you're touching tomorrow, you're touching what the Lord has done, you're touching what God wants to do right now, 5,000 miles away from you. You're touching what God is wanting to spare your first cousin from back home. Come on, y'all listening. There's no way you can cover all that with your little head and mind, but by His Spirit. Hallelujah! Not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord God. Stand on your feet, everybody.